Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It really is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts. What's up, guys? Back once again here, off-season episode number two of the Bears Talk Underground. And I don't know. I just felt like doing something a little bit different and reaching out to a good friend of ours from the PewterCast, Ren Dax, to, of course, that's the Buccaneers podcast and the Buccaneers winning Super Bowl 55, and just thought that I would reach out to find out what it feels like from another long suffering fan base to reach the summit, to get there, to win it all, and all the ups and downs of this season. You know, there was a lot of hype surrounding Tampa Bay coming into the year. They got off to a 7-2 start. They had that 3-game losing streak right before the bye week, the third loss of which was against the Chiefs in Tampa Bay. And then at the bye week, it's like rats just jumping off a sinking ship as far as like people believing in the Buccaneers being the team to beat in the NFC, or that Brady magic was going to carry over to Tampa. And then after the bye week, they win the last four games of the season, all three playoff games. And from, you know, as a wild card team, they had to win three games to get to the Super Bowl, and dominated the Chiefs, who are 14-2 this year, and you know, seemingly unstoppable against pretty much everyone they played against this year. And you know, the meteoric rise of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to finish the season 11-5, to make that run through the playoffs, and you know, just to see what it feels like, to see if we can get a little bit of the rub, you know, from that, you know, the feeling of what it feels like when your team wins it all. And especially for the Buccaneers, because I say it's very similar to the Bears in the fact that it's been a long time since we've had that kind of success, since we've been that close to a championship. I mean, hell, it's been 15 years now since we played for a championship, you know, since Super Bowl 41. So 14 seasons, I should say. So it's been a long time since we were there. And the closest we got was the 2010 NFC Championship game, and we lost to the Packers in that one. Haven't been close. We haven't been to a divisional round since 2010. It's two wild card appearances in the last three years, as close as we've gotten lately, and a lot of mediocrity in between, you know, from 06 to 2010, and then the 10-win season in 2012 that wasn't good enough and got Lovey fired, unfortunately, and then the Trestman and Fox years and everything else in between. So a lot of bad football and a lot of nowhere near the playoffs seasons for our beloved. And as Ren mentioned a few times in our conversation, 13 seasons since the Bucs even made the playoffs. So I think when the Bears made their run in 06, 07, that was the last time the Bucs even made the playoffs. So 13-year playoff drought, Brady comes into town, they make the playoffs, they win another ring. It's unbelievable. So Just wanted to talk to Ren and talk about the game, review that a bit, and just talk about the Bucks in general, what they're looking forward to. I mean, I talked to him yesterday, or excuse me, on Wednesday, right after the parade, where they had the big boat parade and like everybody was enjoying themselves quite a bit. There's the famous viral video of Brady walking off after having a little too much to drink, which is awesome. The guy's celebrating a seventh ring. I mean, nobody believed he would get it, and he got it. You know what I mean? And he had to beat the Chiefs to do it, so it's not like it was an easy road at all. So on the road at New Orleans, on the road at Green Bay, had to beat Mahomes and the Chiefs, the defending world champs. You know, the guy defied the odds, and he did it again. And Bruce Arians making the declarations, we're running this thing back. We're going for two. We're going for another one and everything. So talked to him after that. And it was a fun conversation. I enjoy talking to Ren. And the Bears play the Bucks, so we'll have him on again in 2021. Maybe as early as week one. If the schedulers for the NFL see to it, because the Bears travel to Tampa Bay in 2021. So we very well could be the opening game of the season on Thursday Night Football against the Bucks. So I think that would be interesting. Wouldn't really look forward to it, because whoever plays the world champs, usually kind of a sacrificial lamb, so the champs can get a win. But we've spoiled that one before. We were on Monday Night Football against the defending world champs, the Cowboys, back in the 90s, and the Bears kind of bitch-slapped the Cowboys in that one. Even though the season didn't amount to much, we made a hell of an impact on the league in that first week. So, anyway, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring in our good friend Ren Dax from the PewterCast, talking about Super Bowl 55 and the now world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hang up the Well, even though that we are into the off season now, I figured that, just for the heck of it, why not give our good friend Ren Dax from the PewterCast a call and talk to him about what it feels like to actually reach the summit of that great mountain of the NFL and win a championship. So, Ren, welcome back to the show, man. Congratulations on the Bucks winning the world title. And how you feeling about it?
If I would have been smarter or more clever, you know, when we started this call, I would have answered like help's on the way. but, you know, we talk a little bit about it off air. Everything's great. Just as much as you think how good it would feel, it feels that good.
Right.
Especially for a franchise who I'm sure that, you know, if you paid any attention to pre-Super Bowl coverage, that you heard that of all the four major sports, they have the most losing record. The long drought, you know, the playoffs was like 13 years, I think, since the Bucks have been to the playoffs. So it's everything, you know, everything's turning up roses and all those things that I've said for the past 5 years on the PewterCast that just need to do this and just need to do that. And this player is actually really good. And we're fine here. We just need a kicker and somebody not to turn the ball.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ball over.
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold.
You got those two things this year, finally.
Yeah.
You got the quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, or at least doesn't turn it over 30 times against 30 touchdowns. And you got a kicker that can put them through the uprights instead of on the opposite side of each of them.
Yeah, and imagine what happens. But, no, I mean, Buck fans are elated. You know, there's already the talk down here is like, does Tom Brady already get to go in the Ring of Honor? And, you know, there's all these kind of conversations. We're running it back. We're in the middle of a 28-0 run because that's adding, you know, the last, you know, these last 7-8 games of the season since the bye week for the Buccaneers. The last loss, ironically, was to the Chiefs in week 12 by the right. Buccaneers. And then, you know, running it through all next season with the 17 games and then, of course, getting the first week bye and then running it through the Super Bowl. So, yeah. So we're looking at 28-0, 29-0 is what we're talking about down here. You know, we're the next dynasty. And when Brady retires in another 3 years,
right.
Darren Aaron Rodgers will be ready to come down here. And, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're get this. We got a fan group that's actually raised the money. They did it in less than 48 hours where and the graphics all mocked up. They want to put a sign up in New Orleans said "We That" with a picture or a silhouette of Tom Brady and hang that up in New Orleans because that's who we hate as Buck fans.
Sure.
Is the Saints. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of the, you can't. Don't be talking to Buck fans for this next year because you're not going to be able to tell us anything.
Yeah. I know the feeling. And it was a, you know, unfortunately, it was baseball, which is, I'm not a baseball fan. I'm a Cubs fan. That's how I quantify that.
Gotcha.
If it's not the Cubs, I don't care. And I really don't care for the most part with the Cubs because they play so many goddamn games. Yeah. In baseball, it's hard to get up in arms about a game in June that is, you know, game number 27 or game number 30 when they still have 130 of these goddamn things to go. And that's, you know, then in the postseason, which also takes forever and all that kind of stuff. So it's but the Cubs won. They were the best team in the league from start to finish. They pulled the thing out and you know, a memorable World Series, and then going into 2017, we're bringing everybody back and all that kind of stuff. Like you said, you couldn't tell anybody anything as far as the Cubs not running it back for like the next decade straight or something.
Yes.
Like that. So, you know, flying high after finally, you know, getting back to that place. And for a lot of Cub fans, including myself, the NLCS was as far as the Cubs ever got, and they never won. So watching them get to the World Series was uncharted waters for anyone who is alive at this point.
Because
It's like the last time the Cubs were in the World Series was 1945. So we're talking 60 years plus since they were in a World Series. So, you know, the odds on somebody having been alive to remember that and still here in 2016 would be 70 years, excuse me. So, I mean, odds even worse on somebody, you know, remembering that and still being alive in 2016 to see it. I mean, it was just a remarkable experience. The Bucks only had to wait 18 years to find their way back to the Super Bowl. And luckily they win it. You're perfect in the big game.
Yeah, you know, that's what we do is we go to the big game and then we dominate defensively and turn the game into a joke. And then, you know, we're the cream of the crop. We're the peacock. We're, you know, I really don't know what to say. It's just, you know, it's a good feeling. They did it. Some of the decisions made by Andy Reid going into that game with his offensive scheme were extremely questionable, almost insulting to the Buccaneers defense. But, you know, that and his refusal to even sort of change gears or have a backup plan if plan A didn't work, you know, really worked in the Bucs' favor.
Now I know where Matt Nagy gets it from, because that is very much what Nagy does. Adjustment is a four-letter word. In his vocabulary, there is no such thing. When it comes to Nagy, you just keep pounding that nail until it's, you know, completely driven through the wood. I mean, that's how he rolls. So, yeah, I definitely know where Nagy gets that from watching Andy Reid try to, you know, the definition of insanity, banging his head up against the wall, expecting the same thing over and over, or different results here. And, you know, I got to give credit to Mahomes. That guy was unbelievable in the game, and his teammates did a lot to not help him in that game. I mean, from his offensive line to his receivers dropping passes. I mean, that one where he's literally parallel to the ground, he throws it 30 yards downfield and hits the guy in the face mask with the football, and he doesn't come down with it. I think it would have been a touchdown. At the very least, it was 4th and 9. It would have been the first down that they needed, but somehow he makes that throw. And not only does he make the throw, but it's on the money. And, you know, they still drop it. That one big third down that Kelsey dropped. That would have been a huge first down for them. Hits him in the face mask or something. So it's like these guys forgot how to catch the ball with their hands. They were all body catchers on Sunday, and it worked against them like gangbusters.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why the Chiefs didn't decide to. Like, this is what I said on our pod before the game, and I went on there, and we did it. We waited till Saturday, you know, before the final injury reports came out, or we did it Friday night and came out Saturday. Final injury reports came out, and seeing exactly who was who and what was playing, and especially defensively for the Bucs, we had some guys that might not have went and ended up going, I didn't understand how the Chiefs were actually going to score. And I know that sounds weird. But that's kind of like, if you watch pregame coverage, that's kind of like how the national media took it too. It's like, well, yeah, you know, three linemen in different positions, and the guard really is their third choice, so it makes him his third stringer. And, you know, Remmers gave Von Miller the MVP last time he started in a Super Bowl outside on tackle. You know, the guy's a swinging gate. And then you got a rookie on the other side, and it's like, and they'd go, and then like everyone was saying, you know, yeah, you know, that's going to be a problem, but it's the Chiefs. Like, it wasn't like Andy Reid's going to have to max protect. Andy Reid's going to have to run the ball. Andy Reid's going to have to play the Bucs like the Rams did. I know, I'm sure a lot of Bear fans maybe not saw that game. It was a primetime game, but I think the Rams ran the ball 8 times, and they did, all they did was do short, quick passes. Like, nothing was really over 10 yards. And that's how they, you know, they were worried about the Bucs pass rush, and that's how they negated it. They did it by getting the ball out quick, and Kansas City came out the gate and did that, you know, for the first couple of plays. I think they ended up getting stopped, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be what I think it is. Okay. And then all of a sudden it just went away, and their only underneath concept was Kelsey, who Lavonte David, you look at Kelsey's number, you're like, wow, he had a really good game, but like Lavonte David
didn't
had some,
though. I mean, that's what's amazing is that
Lavonte
statistically.
David had some, yeah, yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm
go
just
ahead.
Saying statistically he had a dominant game. If you just look at the numbers, 10 catches, 133 yards. So fantasy wise, yeah, he had a hell of a day for you. But you know, it's like, did you even notice it was 10 catches for 133 yards? I was astounded when I found out that's what Kelsey's stat line was.
Yes. You know, a lot of them were, you know, 3rd down and 9, and he caught it for 7 yards and get tackled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't splash plays or even move the change plays. And Lavonte David showed up on 3rd down a couple of times.
Yeah.
With pass breakups, on Kelsey, you know, it can't be overstated how well he did on Kelsey. And again, it sounds funny because, you know, 10 catches, 130 yards, but the whole fourth quarter, you know, the Bucs are playing their safeties on the goal line. So there was a lot of open space in there and stuff. But, you know, when I saw that Patrick Mahomes / Eric Bieniemy / Andy Reid, like, had no underneath game, and they were just going to be, well, this is what we did to them in the first quarter of the national televised game. And, you know, of course, they're going to do – our guys are just going to beat your guys. And – with that banged up offensive line, like, they hung Patrick Mahomes out to dry and said, go win the game.
Yeah.
Don't get sacked. Run around. Like, do your best Russell Wilson and go win the game. And that's no way to game plan for a Super Bowl. It was so head scratching to me because Andy Reid, I respect so much, and he's going to go down as, you know, one of the best, if not the best play callers in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite surprising for them not to show up that way. I was watching the Rich Eisen show today, and he said that was a Philadelphia Andy Reid performance that we saw. It's like your team always crumbled, and that was his thing in Philadelphia. It's like he could get you to the NFC championship game. He did it notoriously, like 5 times in 7 years or something like that.
Four in a row,
and only won one of those games to actually go to a Super Bowl and things like that. And again, it was the Patriots who beat McNabb and you know, the 04 Eagles that year. And it just, like, every time there was a big stage, Reed and company hardly ever answered the call. Like I said, they went to one Super Bowl for all their opportunities in NFC championship games. And he finally shook that curse, if you will, because he makes it to an AFC championship game with Mahomes in 2018. First year as a starter, they come up short to the Patriots. You know, the Patriots have that late comeback to win the game and everything. 2019, they finally make it. They get to the Super Bowl. They win the damn thing. And so now it's almost like everyone kind of forgot the Andy Reid legacy of you know, crumbling in the big games. And they make it all the way back, and just like most people thought they would, and then really did not show up for that game. It's like everything is like every concern. And it's like everyone, like you said, everyone acknowledged the offensive line was going to be an issue. But also, like you said, everyone was also kind of blowing it off because Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Like Patrick Mahomes was going to erase all of that. And I was seeing on my Twitter timeline, you said most of your Twitter timeline is Buck fans. Well, obviously, I have a lot of Bear fans on mine, and everyone's sentiment is like, well, this is what it would look like if Pat Mahomes was drafted by Chicago. You know, we don't have a good offensive line that would be protecting him. He'd be running all over the place, throwing lasers to guys who can't catch the ball. So it's like, yeah, here's a glimpse. You just, you know, somebody wants to, like, everyone wants to Photoshop Deshaun Jackson Watson, in a Bear uniform just to fantasize about that happening. But, you know, put Pat Mahomes in a Bear uniform, and that's what it would look like, what his performance on Super Bowl Sunday, running for his life, heaving it all over and hoping that his receivers can make it happen for him. And, you know, that's been kind of the running joke in the timeline for Bear fans this week. For anyone who wants to know what it would look like if Pat Mahomes was in Chicago, there it is right there.
Yeah, so, you know, I've talked a lot, and I've asked, you know, some of the we've been doing our podcast for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And we've gotten some credentials at training camp. So, you know, I've gotten to know the beat reporters for all the outlets, for, you know, the local guys. And, you know, I've been asking every time, you know, they come on our show or I see them at an event or something, I'll be like, I said, hey, is Pat Mahomes Pat Mahomes as in what he is now if he doesn't team up with Andy Reid? Like, I'm not trying to, like, bash Pat Mahomes, but, like, I don't think I think he's more Josh Allen than he is Pat Mahomes if he doesn't have Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And I can never sort of get anybody to really talk about that, but it's nice to see at least Bear, okay. You know, Bear fans kind of get it. Like, receivers dropping balls and guys running for his life. Yeah. You know, it's a team game, obviously, and I know I'm just speaking in cliches now, but again, I just can't believe, like, they didn't have a backup plan rather than, like, you know, we got Tyreek Hill and he's really fast.
Yeah. Well, I think they just thought that week 12 was going to happen all over again. Like, they were going to be explosive, or the Bucs weren't going to be able to keep up. Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were going to dominate, and they were going to pepper in some Travis Kelce, and Sammy Watkins was coming back, and Edwards-Helaire was going to be there, and they also have LeSean McCoy. No, actually, you guys had LeSean McCoy, excuse me.
And
somebody else come. Yeah, Le'Veon, that's who it was, Le'Veon Bell coming off the bench as well. They just had so many weapons that it was going to outweigh what the offensive line couldn't do, because there would just be no shortage of people that were open to bail out Mahomes whenever he got into trouble. And that was proven wrong almost immediately in the football game, when he's constantly running for his life and can't get rid of the ball because he doesn't want to throw an interception to no one that's open.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
I bet it was. And you'll be proud to know, Ren, that our friendship is secure. I picked Tampa Bay to win.
Thank you.
And that's the God's honest truth, man. I was talking to a friend from work, and we were kind of going back and forth, and then he asked me about the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you, it's hard to pick the game because Mahomes and Brady, how do you pick against either one of those quarterbacks? And it was like, for me, what it comes down to in these games, these big games, the cliche, of course, is defense wins championships, and Tampa Bay has by far superior defense. It's like, so I'm going to go with the team that's got the better defense. I'll take Tampa Bay. Like, gun to my head, I'm taking the Bucs. It's just, as great as Mahomes is, defense always, the great defenses always show up in these games. And for that, that's what basically what went down. I mean, they kept you guys kept the Chiefs out of the end zone on Sunday. It's like, who could have predicted that was happening? Like, every score prediction that I saw, even for the few that were picking Tampa Bay, were like 37-31, 34-28 or something like that. They were expecting it to be a shootout, like a Madden-style game. Whoever has the ball last is going to win this game, not Tampa Bay is going to go out there and, rack up some decent pointage, and KC's going to be in single digits when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you know, my prediction was, and I tweeted out actually Saturday, and of course I got a bunch of likes. I said Chiefs are going to have a problem moving the ball, and that's because I thought Andy Reid was going to come out with the short passing game and run the ball. But even if you average like 6 yards running the ball, you know, at the end of the game, there's still like 2 yard runs in there and negative yard runs in there and runs for no gain, and now all of a sudden you're behind the chains. So even though you're clipping off at 6 yards a run, like say you get 7 on first down, well, that's just as like, if you're going to throw the ball to Kelce or Hill, like they're going to get 7 minimum, kind of, you know? Yeah. So like, let them run all they want. Like when Patrick Mahomes was scrambling around in the first half and he was picking up first downs, I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's fine. Like if Patrick Mahomes is going to run the ball every third down for 15 yards to pick up a first down and do it for 4 quarters, and that's how we lose, well, then that's how we lose.
Right.
So I said the Chiefs got a problem moving the ball. I didn't know Andy Reid was going to let them hang out to dry. And I said Bucks win by 10 plus, like 10 or more. Mm-hmm. I just like, and the reason why is because all those reasons you talked about, naming off all the weapons the Chiefs have, well, so do the Bucks.
Yeah.
But the Bucks after the bye week realized that coming out, they're like, if we're going to have, you know, if we want to make this thing work, we're going to have to keep Brady upright. And that's what they did throughout the playoffs. Like Gronk had 2 targets in 3 games in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he was max protect. He was helping out on the other team's best pass rusher. And Brady was upright. And so he could have find time to hit Mike Evans and find time to hit Chris Godwin and have a clean uniform. And it happened again in the Super Bowl. They got to him early. Besides that, he had all the time in the world, you know? And you, how multiple the Bucs offense is just crazy, because they just beat the Chiefs and they beat him by throwing to the tight ends, mostly Gronk, and with Leonard Fournette. Like Evans and Godwin had 3 catches for like 40 yards, and one of those was 31 yards. Like no Godwin. Antonio Brown had a touchdown. I think he had one other touch besides that. Scotty Miller was zero factor. You know, it's they outcoached the Chiefs, man. They're like, you know, we're going to bring in an extra tackle and pretend he's Gronk, and we're going to have 6 offensive linemen, and then we're going to squirt Gronk out the middle and make, you know, the safety stay with him and the corner nickel stay with him. And you can't. And it was, you know, New England all over again. Every point that the Bucs scored came from someone who wasn't on the team last year.
Yeah.
Every single point.
That was a point that a lot of people made, was 2 from Gronkowski, 1 from Antonio Brown, and the other one from, was it Fournette that scored the other one?
Fournette and our field goal kicker.
Yeah. Oh, that. So even on top of it, literally everyone who scored points was not on the team last year. Wow. Yes. So, I mean, I'm looking at the stats here. Fournette, four catches, 46 yards as the second leading receiver on the team. Gronkowski, six catches on seven targets, 67 yards and two touchdowns. Mike Evans, like you said, one catch for 31 yards. Chris Godwin, two catches, 9 yards. Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, three catches, 40 yards between two of them. Zero touchdowns.
They were both Pro Bowlers last year.
Yeah. So Cameron Brate had more catches than Mike Evans.
That's why I said tight ends. They sprinkled in. I thought it was going to be a Cameron Brate Fournette game. I thought Cameron Brate was going to have this huge game because I thought they're going to keep Gronk in like they had against Washington, against the Saints, and against Green Bay. But they switched it up a bit and had Gronk go out and sort of play what I thought the position Cam Brate was going to have, which is better because Gronk is, you know, he can stay a little more upright and he gets more yak and things like that. Cam Brate's hands are fantastic, but he's not running away from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive watching the Bucs do what they did on Sunday. How did you watch the game?
It was just me. You know, at the PewterCast, we go live when it hits triple zeros in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So we were invited to a bunch of parties. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, my girl, was nice enough to decline for me. and she's like, he's not going to like this is his, this, like he treats us like a job. Yeah. Like he's not going to want to talk to anybody. And when he does, he's going to get frustrated because you don't know as much as he does. And if he misses a play because you're asking him something, if he wants some dip, he's going to get mad at you. Like, so she went. She picked one and she went. So I was home all by myself. Okay. I sat there on my couch and I had it on the TV and I had it on my phone and I had it on my iPad so I could watch every play three times because they all come in at different feeds, speed times.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to watch every play three times, and I had my charcuterie board with my fancy cheeses and fancy meats, and I think I pounded like four Mountain Dews, more. And then I took notes in my little notepad, and that was it. So yeah, not exactly the Super Bowl experience that everyone would like or think is. Something, you know, imagining as someone as deep in the Buccaneers as me, but I loved it. So I was good. I was more.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The next time the Bears make the Super Bowl, I'm probably going to do something similar to that. I am going to treat it, you know, like a job rather than the celebration that, you know, most people or casual fans treated the, you know, that's what Super Bowl parties are for.
Yes.
People who haven't watched a down of football will watch the Super Bowl. They won't know a thing that's going on. And for people like you and me, that is the last place on earth we want to be when our team is in the game.
Yeah. So I started podcasting because I got tired of having those conversations at the bar. Like, I need to find somebody who knows what they're talking about, at least, you know. I could imagine walking into, like, Super Bowl 55 and, some 5 foot blonde going, so are you excited about Tom Brady? I'm like, okay, like, excuse me. Don't talk to me.
Where's no habla inglés, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go away.
Look, I'm sure you're a very sweet person. The tag's still on your shirt. you know, and I'm not one of those people where, like, all fans can be fans. Like, any way you're a fan, I'm happy for you to be a fan of any team and any sport. It's just when, you know, like you said, this is it, you know, like this is the last climb to the peak of Everest. Like,
yeah.
I'm not in the mood to play host and I don't need any tourists today. I'm glad you're here. Have a good time.
Enjoy.
You know, like Animal House where they keep bringing them over to like the nerd table.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's your group over there, okay? Like, thank God. After the game, you know what? Me and you, we'll connect. We'll be buds. But right now, like, I need you to get away from me.
Yeah, totally. I get that 100%. It's a good woman you got there. She understands and didn't make it about being antisocial or, you know, your team is more important than me and or anything
that.
God bless her for understanding. That's You got to hang on to the ones that get it. So
I didn't even see her because she left like at probably 3 p.m. And by the time we finished podcasting, because I think we went like almost 3 hours because we do a live call-in show and,
sure,
you know, fans from all over We do it through StreamYard, so it's a video chat. So we had people from Australia, and we had people from the UK, and, you know.
What time was it in Australia by the time the game ended?
We didn't ask him, because he actually calls in a lot. But it was daylight there.
Yeah, it was like Tuesday out there by
that
point.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of my favorite sayings, like, the world's not going to end today. It's already tomorrow in Australia.
There you go.
It was something like 9, 11 in the morning or something like that with them. We went really late, and by the time I got off, she was already asleep in bed, you know, and I just touched her and woke her up, and she's just like, "Go Bucks," and that was it, you know.
Well, I think you'll enjoy the way that I watched the game.
Okay, I'll hear it.
I also was watching the game alone. I ordered up some Buffalo Wild Wings, which thankfully was delivered on time. The food was ready to go. I had 10 Asian Zing. And I went with 10 Hickory Barbecue, just to give you an indication of what I was
working with. Flavor Profile Asian, is that appropriate anymore?
I don't know, man, but that's what they call it on the menu, so that's what I took, you know? I wanted something with a little kick to it, and I wasn't really in a Jamaican jerk kind of mood, so I went with the Asian Zing.
Hey, man, I still just go hot.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about it, you know, but I didn't want to have heartburn during the game.
Good point.
Like you said, Mountain Dew. I have a nice little, I have a 64 ounce Hydro Flask that was filled with Mountain Dew.
Nice.
And I also had a companion podcast going at the same time. One of my favorite comedians, Tom Segura, has a podcast with another comedian, Bert Kreischer. It's called Two Bears, One Cave. All right.
Okay.
And they did a live stream companion podcast with none other than Warren Sapp for the game.
Geez.
So you got Bert Kreischer, you got Tom Segura, you got Warren Sapp. They're sitting there eating like barbecue and trading stories. And, you know, it's uncensored. So Warren Sapp doesn't have to worry about keeping his tongue on the NFL Network or anything, because he doesn't work for anybody right now. And, you know, he's having a blast, and it was a lot of fun. So I didn't really listen to a lot of Jim Nantz or Tony Romo because I was, you know, listening to those guys. Yeah. So, but, I mean, that's how I watched the game, was that they made their own Super Bowl commercials and everything else. So it was a lot of fun to have that kind of going while I was watching the game as well.
Nice. I might look for an alternate next time, because the amount of times that Tony Romo tried to talk us into, well, if you think there's a chance, you know, like every drive halfway through the third quarter on was like, you got to pick this up, you know, well, if there's a chance here, how the Chiefs are going to crawl back into this game. And it was just like, okay, Tony, like,
well, I mean, this wasn't that postseason though. If this was last year, and then I could kind of buy into the continuous pleas for there could be a chance, because that's what the Chiefs did all the way through the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
last year they dug themselves deep holes against the Texans, then again in the AFC Championship game with the Titans, and then being down 10 points in the fourth quarter to the 49ers and rattling off those three touchdowns. Okay, but they didn't do that once in this postseason, and it wasn't going to happen against that defense. So him kind of making one plea after another to I don't know if he was just trying to keep viewers from leaving or whatever
what
it was, but, you know, it ended up having like the lowest turnout ratings wise for a long time. But of course, coupled with the fact that it was the highest streamed NFL game or Super Bowl in history, I think they said.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know. So being I can't imagine an NFL game with sort of like the storyline of passing the torch between the goat and the kid bottomed out just because of the score. Especially if you know anything about the game, because like you said, like Kansas City kind of, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, this is kind of their MO, you know. It's like okay, oh wait, we might lose, okay, we're ready now. You know, halfway through the third. Okay, we're ready now. Sorry, I didn't know. I thought you guys were, you know, not going to play. But so, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I streamed all of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we cut the cable here like 4 years ago.
Yeah, I tried to do that. And the one streaming service that I'd fell in love with discontinued last year. PlayStation View was the one that I ended up really liking. because I tried, you know, DirecTV Online or whatever the hell it's called now. I tried Hulu.
No, Larry.
I didn't try YouTube, but I went with PlayStation View, and that was the one that I liked. And then it was like, oh yeah, January 2020, we're pulling the plug. So I ended up going with good old fashioned cable at that
point. Larry. No. I have to get you. Go get yourself a Fire Stick, and I'll walk you through how to jailbreak it. And you'll
One. I need to get a new one though. The one that I have is like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and it's slow as hell. So I need a new one.
Okay, go get a new one, and then type in jailbreak Fire Stick YouTube, and within a day you can watch any movie ever made, anytime you want, any TV show ever made, anytime you want. And if you want to pay $20 a month, which we do, there are streaming services that carry every live TV feed in the whole entire world.
Yeah, you're speaking my dad's language. That's what he does. I mean, he's he still pays for cable, but he also has not paid for a UFC event in 5 years or anything like that, because he's found his way to those services that will show you everything. Like, he can watch movies. Well, when there still were movie theaters, but he can watch any movie that's still in the theater. He can watch it at home days after it's been released, and things like that, and on a jailbroken Fire Stick. So
yeah.
So he's all about that. So
all right. Apparently you are not, so you know it's out there.
Well, I am aware of it, and I did have one for a long time, and that's what I was doing. But I changed it up. What are you going to do?
So, all right. You know. Yeah. I mean, cable companies, they need the money.
Sure. Yeah.
So they tried to buy Disney in the 90s, but.
So, I mean, it was, I enjoyed the game. I think probably because I was pulling for Tampa Bay.
Right.
Because I just wanted my pick to be right. I didn't have anything against the Chiefs, or it's not like that I didn't want to see them win, or that I was rooting for Brady or anything like that. I just had a feeling that Tampa Bay was going to win. And I was enjoying the game because it looks like I'm going to be right about this. So who wouldn't enjoy that? You know, like, hey, especially since nobody that I talked to would agree with me.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, the Chiefs are going to win this game. It's the Chiefs, for Christ's sake. And
that's it. That's what everyone said. That was our whole logic, because it's the Chiefs.
Like, it's the Chiefs. And yeah, Tom Brady's great, but it's Mahomes' time now. So I'm like,
how is that analysis? Like, yeah. Well, it's the Chiefs.
Well, that's like you said. It's like, I started a podcast because I didn't want to have those conversations anymore. And truth be told, man, that's why I have a podcast as well. You know, I do a solo podcast because I have trouble finding people to talk to on a regular, or somebody like on day to day, like you with you and Brent and everything to co-host the show together. I haven't been able to find a co-host, but I find people like you and Brent and several others like-minded, but different allegiances and everything. So, that's one of the things I enjoy most about doing this is having these conversations. And
those are always fun when you find, the super fans out there, but they're not like, they're ride or die, but they're not like, you know, my quarterback's the best and yours stinks, and my wide receivers, like every position, they have the best kicker, and you know, their hot dogs are the best at the stadium, and you can't talk to them and they yell at you, and it's just like, okay, like, thank you very much. I went on the Saints podcast and the guy was wearing a crown.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And he told me to come knock it off. I went, okay.
Like, well, I instantly regret this decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving you idiots my time. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oddly enough, he hasn't invited me back since the playoff game.
Strange. That's so weird.
I know. I actually went to the store and bought myself a crown. So just in case, if he ever brings me back.
Of course you did.
When I click the old camera, you know, StreamYard or whatever, you know, video service he's using, I'll be sitting there in my chair with my crown on.
Nice. I haven't had anyone on the show like that, thank God. The worst was I used to do a podcast with a couple of friends called Football is America. And it was a general football show, obviously, hence the title. And we would talk to different people, and we had a guy that was a Ravens guy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Easily one of the worst interviews I've ever been a part of, because he was full-blown homerism no matter what.
Right.
You know, trying to convince us that Joe Flacco was all world.
Yeah.
You know, and this was three, four years removed. Like, he was on his way out of Baltimore, still trying to convince us that he's going to lead them. Just because he wears a Raven uniform, he's the guy. I was like, whew. Yep. God, that was painful. That was awful. Like, those people are the worst kind. Like, they can't see the forest for the trees when it comes to their team. They're blinded by the colors.
You know?
Like, he's wearing a Ravens uniform. He must be the greatest thing at his position, you know. And then Joe Flacco was the quarterback. 2012 was a long time ago, brother. And then, you know, he hasn't done much with it since.
Yeah, I can't tell them that. I mean, but why else would he be on the Ravens then? I mean, if he wasn't the best ever at his position, then why would they draft him or pick him up free agents? Like, why is he here then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good times.
Yeah. it's good to love your team and back your guys and everything, but people don't want to listen to that.
Yes.
They don't want to hear everything through rose colored glasses and everything, or the people that listen to my show, or the people that like my perspective and everything, enjoy the fact that I don't just roll over with everything that the Bears do, that there is some critical analytical thinking when it comes to what our teams do. So this episode of the Bears Talk Underground has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It really is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Going forward for your guys, you know, what do you guys, I mean, are you just going to, can you run it back? Is everybody still on the hook for next year? I know you got like a lot of 1 year deals out there. How hard is it going to be for Light to keep this team together?
Well, fortunately we have our capologist, and you can't call him his capologist cause he gets very offended. He wears lots of hats, but Mike Greenberg, is our capologist, and he has never put the Bucks in a bad situation and never does. So the Bucks, the way they do contracts, it's set up for not sort of like these 3 year runs and then you got to blow it up and then rebuild again. He's all about the slow burn. So cap wise, we're going to be okay. Now we've got some guys that are free agents the team wants to bring back, have publicly said they want to bring back. And once I say the names, and if you're familiar with them, yeah, of course, I'd want them on my team. I think the first three, like 1A, 1B, and 1C are going to be Shaq Barrett, mm-hmm. who played this year under franchise tag, Chris Godwin, who just finished out his rookie contract, and Levante David, who just finished out his second contract.
Those are some big names, man.
Yes, exactly. They all want to come back. You can find some videos out there of drunk BA up on stage today telling, you know, hugging them and telling them they're all coming, like they ain't effing going anywhere.
Yeah.
So
I saw that on Instagram, actually.
But the organization pre-party had expressed interest. Shaq even said after the Super Bowl that I expected to get done quickly. Levante David's always said he's wanted to come back. Chris Godwin always said he's wanted to come back. And since Mike Greenberg has been here, which has been about 7-8 years now, he hasn't lost anyone that they absolutely wanted. You know, like Quan Alexander, when we lost from the 49ers, they just got outbid. You know, they're like, mm-hmm. we want you back. Here's a and his contracts are fair. And he doesn't do big signing bonuses, so and spread it out. So, like, 2 years down the road, if the player isn't what you expect him to be, all of a sudden you got this huge cap number. He pays you as for your talent now, and it sort of goes down that way, which creates a lot of room later on, because when you have a player like Chris Godwin and you sign him to like a 5-year deal and you give him, you know, his give him big money, like say we'll say $20 million the first 2 or 3 years, then you can, when you need money, you just give him cash and you take like, okay, we need $5 million in cap room. Here, Chris, here's $5 million. We take that $5 million and we spread it out over your remaining 3 years on your contract. But, you know, that's dangerous. You've seen what happened to the Saints with Drew Brees, but Chris Godwin isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So the only players they do that with so far has been Ali Marpet, who's a very good guard. You might have seen him escorting Leonard Fournette into the end zone Sunday, and Mike Evans. So, like, those are the players that aren't going with the way he does. Players that I think they want back and I want back, but we'll see. We're talking about Ndamukong Suh, interior defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And then you can start to add on, like, A.B., but that's going to be about how much money he really needs in his life, right? Because he's going to need some soon, and he might not even be eligible to play next year because all his court dates are coming up. Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny was great. Regular season Lenny was not so great. And we still have Ronald Jones, who every Buccaneer fan thinks is a better running back. He just can't catch. We'll see where that goes. So A.B. and Sue, and then behind that, are just, you know, some smaller players, but those are kind of like the big ones. But there are a lot of guys that, you know, some of your listeners probably wouldn't know, that contracts are up. So they're have to do some, you know, moving and shaking, and they signed like 16 guys to futures contracts the day before the parade. So, you know, they're well on the way, but to answer your question, as long as drawn out as possible, the cap room is there. And I think that, everybody that wants to come back will have a spot.
Good. That's a good thing to know or to feel, or, you know, have an instinct about, because obviously in the NFL is the—
Oh, and Gronk too.
Yeah, Gronk. Yeah, if Brady's back, Gronk is back. That's—
Yeah, Gronk already said he's coming back.
Yeah, they'll find a way to make that happen. And Gronk's in a great position as well, because apparently he got some really good financial advice. He's been saving all of his actual football money and living off of his
endorsement.
So as long as he's making commercials, he can play football pretty cheap. So
yeah.
So hopefully that'll work out for you guys as well. And, you know, but in this league, everyone wants to pick apart the champions, mm-hmm. And everything. And I guess it was a good thing, especially for the Bucks to go on the run when they did, because, you know, it left you guys the opportunity to talk to your coaches like Todd Bowles and maybe even Byron Leftwich, which is probably like a year or two away from serious head coach contention talk and everything. They were more focused on the playoffs, and things like that than they were about finding their next job. So nobody's going to be picking clean the coaching staff to try to get a taste of what your staff was able to do or the magic that it created this year. And if guys are hell bent on coming back, then it's going to make for a very lean free agent market as far as those guys are concerned. It's going to have to be kind of like you said, a Quan Alexander type thing where they just made him an offer he couldn't refuse versus wanting to come back to Tampa Bay.
Yes, but now that we're winning, like, fans think that you know, these, like Sue, you know, excellent businessman, have, like, you know, his fingers in a lot of pies. He's quickly become one of my favorite Bucks all time. I love that guy.
Really?
He's cultured. Like, he can have a conversation about architecture. He can have a conversation about wine. He can conversation about food. And he have a conversation about football. I mean, you know, the guy that I thought I was getting, the Detroit stomp on you, you know, have to go sit in Roger Goodell's office, Miami Dolphin flop, Los Angeles Ram doesn't try into the playoff, Dominican Sue is not the guy that I see. Mm-hmm. So I love him. So, like, you know, like Gronk, he can take less money. You know, Fournette said he wants to come back, but, you know, he's trying to rebuild his career. But we saw, you know, the Tom Brady effect here in Tampa about even getting Gronk or even getting Fournette or even getting AB. Like Fournette and AB together, their contract was less than $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not taking that to go play for the Jets.
Well, here's the thing. It's kind of like the Tom Brady effect that you know, like you said, before this year was called the Patriot effect.
Yes.
Guys would take less for a chance to play
for a
championship in New England with Belichick and with Brady and have a really great shot at doing it as well, just because, you know, the Patriots dominated the AFC for so long and everything. And now that Brady has moved over to Tampa Bay and proven that he can win without Belichick, which for me, I can't deny Brady the title of greatest of all time anymore. Because
how can you?
Well, I mean, that was my caveat.
The last thing
I was hanging on to was because I still believe that guys like that Rodgers and Manning are better quarterbacks, but more talented. Yeah, but you can't deny what the guy has done, and now that he's done it without Belichick, that was the last, you know. That was the last arrow in my quiver, man. I got nothing now, because he went ahead and did it with a bunch of guys that he hadn't played with before, aside from Gronkowski, with a coach he'd never worked with before, in a pandemic year where they basically had no preparation going into the season, and they suffered their lumps early on, including a loss to my beloved Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football. And, you know, at 7-5 before the bye week, people were jumping out of the ship, man, after they lost to Kansas City the way that they did.
They were.
And everything. They're going into the bye. Yeah.
Just gone 1-3 in those four games.
And here they are. They're going into the bye. They're wounded. They're kind of limping into this bye week against the best team in the NFL. And they got run off their own field in that game and can't have that. So, you know, I guess Brady and the Bucks aren't really going to be who we thought they were. And everything, and then they come back from the bye, nobody believing them, and like a bat out of hell. The next thing you know, they rattle off the last four or five wins of the regular season, go into as a legit wild card team for the first time in, 10 years? A wild card team runs the table and wins the Super Bowl, but in each one of those games, they look like the best team in football while they were doing it.
The end.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
I mean, and the only game that made me nervous in the playoffs was actually that first game against Washington.
Me too.
You know, the way that kid Heineke or however they pronounce his last name, you know, fighting the way he did when he scored that one touchdown where he dove and hit the ball with the pylon with the ball and everything, is like, I almost jumped out of my chair. I'm sitting here on my, you know, my lazy boy watching the game. I'm like, whoa. What a freaking play that kid made. I thought that the Bucks might be in trouble after that, because, you know, they've run into somebody who's not going to give up. And, you know, they just kind of outlasted Washington in that game.
Yeah, that kid, you know, just earned him like $9 million. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, deal today. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw someone tweet like 60 passes in the NFL and now you have generational money. Huh, weird. I mean, it was that was all on guts, man. Like that was one of the gutsiest performance that I saw. You know, and it was the Patrick Mahomes game all over again, except the Bucs were playing a soft zone and there was no Devin White. It shouldn't make that much of a difference, but Todd Bowles was playing his soft zone because basically they said, like, we're going to make you sort of dink and dunk it down the field. We're going to make this kid do it because at the end, I think we have the horses to beat it. It was kind of like, we don't want to really show anything. We don't want to show our cover two. We don't want, you know, we're still going to play single high. Like, there was all these, it was the Saints Chiefs defense and it wasn't the defense they were playing the 4 weeks going into that. But yeah, I mean, at least, you know, as a fan, it was the toughest game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't. It's really weird. After the bye week, you know, we're as a team, you know, as a fan of the team, we're praying for these changes. Like, where's the motion? Like, where's the extra blocker? Like, where's the creativity on offense? Like, where's not running the ball on first down every time? And where's not throwing the ball 30 yards down the field on third and two every time? and where's, like, can the soft zone pleadings go away? I mean, like, when you draft all these corners, you're like, they're big, long press man corners. Let them play. And they started to do that. Todd Bowles came out of the bye week, and he played cover two. And he's played the most cover, because he's a single high safety guy. Like, that's his base. He's played the most cover two in the stretch since the bye week that he's ever played in his whole entire career. But he played man mesh concepts underneath and let those guys bump and run. And of course, the competition was down because we played Atlanta twice, Detroit and the Vikings. So it was much easier go than Rams, Saints, Chiefs, obviously.
Yeah.
So it and then they started to run, and I'm like, okay, everything is working. And then Tom started to click a little bit, and Gronk started to show up, you know, and AB started to play the way that, like, Pittsburgh AB, not like I haven't played football in a year AB. And I'm going, okay, all we need is a fifth seed. That's all I want. And we got it, and we got to play the Washington football team. And they gave us a much better game than I thought, but I was never afraid.
Yeah.
And then when we played the Saints, I'm like, if Todd Bowles does what he's been doing since the bye week, we will beat the Saints. Except instead of having your safeties 15 yards back, you can just make it at 11 because Breeze can't throw it past 11 yards.
Right.
So, and, you know, the defense showed up, created a lot of turnovers. Then we go into Green Bay, and I don't know if Bear fans remember or even care, but, like, the Bucs beat the Packers, like, in week four, like 33-3 or something, 30-3. Like,
yeah, I enjoyed that immensely. Yes.
Yeah, like, they boat raced him. So, and then again with this new defense and the new style, sort of like the offense was going and not being predictable, doing some motion, you know, creating a little eye candy and confusion pre-snap. I was like, this could be that whoever gets the ball last wins. We're not going to get blown out. This offense will keep us in games now.
Yeah.
No matter how it goes. So I wasn't, you know, I was never like biting, like, oh, we need this, biting my nails in the Green Bay game. And then when the Chiefs game rolled around, it took me 2 weeks to get there. But again, I was just like, they're not like what the Chiefs do well, they can't. And it's not their fault. It's their offensive line. It's just injuries. Like, they just can't do it. Like, you can't have Tyreek run over routes. You're not going to have the time.
Yeah.
You know, Todd Bowles is going to make sure you're not going to have the time. And if you don't have the time with four, if that works, then you're in real serious trouble. And not only did that happen, but they didn't have the counterpunch. It was just keep running, Tyreek, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been pretty relaxed since, like, the Vikings game. It's just been a bunch of crappy teams. You know, no offense to those fans, and not tier one teams, I'll say. And then just the way seeing the team come together and knowing that Tom Brady's not going to throw three interceptions, even though he did. It's been kind of a coast. I feel like a Patriots fan. You know? Like, I'm telling you, man, like, I did a show during our bye week where the rest of the league had five games left, and I mapped out how the Bucks were going to get the fifth place and then how they were going to go to the Super Bowl. And everything came true except the Seattle and Arizona, I think, lost. Like, Seattle ended up losing to the Jets, and somebody lost to the Giants instead of other games that I had picked. But it all just worked out that way, and we swept the table, and here we are. And, you know, now I'm the smartest fan in the whole entire world because I called it, you know, 9 weeks ago, and
yeah.
Everything's good, man.
You ever a wrestling fan?
When I was very young. I'm almost 50, so we're talking like, okay, Dusty Rhodes, Tommy Wildfire Rich, Blackjack Mulligan.
Oh, yeah.
Jake all the Snake Roberts.
Florida guys, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, that's what it was. It was Florida Championship Wrestling. When it went sort of to the WWE and mm-hmm. sort of the Hulk Hogan starting that, I was out of it. So, like I missed all the Rock and Steve Austin, okay, and whatever what they're doing now. I have no idea, but I
bailed on it a long time ago as well. I was big into it when I was a kid, but I was an 80s kid. So it was Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and, you know,
yeah,
the Macho Man and yep, all those guys. And, you know, WrestleMania 3 in the Silver Dome and the big body slam heard around the world and all that. And then I kind of let it go in middle school and high school. And then when I got into college, that's when the Attitude Era started, in the NWO on the WCW side, and then Stone Cold and the Rock. And you were saying, like, you felt like the smartest fan in the world because you said all along what was going to happen. I did that 1 year with Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock in, was it WrestleMania 17? I said that Austin was going to join forces with Vince McMahon and turn heel, and nobody believed me. And sure
those
enough,
fools.
Yes, fools, all of them, because that's exactly what happened.
He if you want to talk to me, I'll be on my throne for smart people.
It's yeah. I mean, my buddies were freaking out because I told them what was going to happen, and it happened to the T, the way that it went down. And I told them like 6 weeks ahead of time, and it was just like, here you go. You can all call me Sire, if you will. You know, Mr. Dyer is acceptable as well. So just so long as there's some kind of distinguishment in the name.
Or just bring tribute. Bring yeah. some tribute.
All right, Ren. So we'll go ahead and wrap this up. I appreciate you taking out the time to talk about this with me. I just kind of wanted to flesh out, you know, what the summit feels like, especially for a team like Tampa Bay that has suffered, you know, over the years as much, if not more, than the Bears have, or at least recently, in between their Super Bowl trips and everything, to hit the lowest of lows and have the number one pick, because you went 2-14 the year before to get to this point. And being a fan like you and I are, sticking with our teams regardless of the outcome of their season, to as Eddie Vedder says in the song that he wrote for the Cubs, you know, I'll be and I'll know that I was right to back this team, kind of thing, just to kind of paraphrase what he said. You know, like, I'll be celebrating because I knew that I was right. And, you know, to be a Bucks fan after all the Bucks have been through from the beginning of their history all the way up through now, to be on the top of the summit, to know that you were right to back this team, it's got to feel pretty good.
It does. And I won't mind saying that there were times on my podcast that I demanded Chris Ford, who was the COO of the team, that he owed me a public apology for, like, spending money on this team. Like,
yeah,
you know, the trash that they put out there for you know, years. You know, like we talked about, it's been 13 years since they made the playoffs. You know, like, the Bucks went 11-5 this year. You know how many times the Bucks have gone 11-5 or better?
Tell me.
Three
times.
Yeah. Three other times. This is their fourth time.
Wow.
Ever. 11 games.
Were they 11-5 or 12-4 in 02?
They went 12-4.
12-4. Yeah. So not one game better than what they did this year.
Yeah. So, you know, they went when Cutter's, I think, first year, maybe his second year. You know, they went 9-7 and missed the playoffs. So, like, we were going to throw them a parade because, you know, like, continuity with Jameis, and here we go. Yeah, it's everything that you bet you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's just really good. And, you know, I just want, you know, for you to know that you should let Allen Robinson know that there's no state tax down here. And we have Tom Brady.
Right. Well, you know what? His agent, I don't follow him on Twitter, but I saw some of his comments when referring to Pat Mahomes. Like, oh, yeah, it looks like he needs a big-bodied receiver with a good catch radius and everything. And I was like, you know what? I love Allen Robinson, but he does not deserve the money that he's going to demand on the market, because somebody who's supposed to make $20 million a year is supposed to make $20 million a year catches, and Allen Robinson doesn't do that. So, I mean, it made me laugh out loud when PFF came out with the Allen Robinson was number one in the league in contested catches. It's like, I find that staggeringly hard to believe, because I saw on a handful of occasions contested catches go to the defense against Allen Robinson. Like, literally ripped them out of his hands. It's like, so, you know, and it was saying like, oh yeah, he only dropped one contested catch. It's like, what? So I guess having it ripped out of your hands doesn't count as a drop as far as PFF is concerned. But, you know, it's like, I do want the Bears to re-sign him. I do want him to come back. But I want him to be realistic about who he is and what his price tag should be. And wanting 20-plus million a season, he's not that guy. He should be happy with 18. It's a $4 million a year raise. And, you know, suit up and get it done with whoever our next quarterback is going to be.
Well, he can play for five down here, be wide receiver four.
There you go.
I'm telling you, no state tax. It's like six.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So like you said, I wonder how many guys will do that this year. Like how many will take the league minimum or the veteran minimum for a chance to play with Tom Brady and maybe a championship down with the Buccaneers.
Well, we had three this year and they all scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It really is. And it's going to be really weird as a fan and even as a podcaster. You know, it took me a while to sort of shift my mood as coming on after these wins as a Buccaneer, because it'd be like, yeah, great win. Oh, yeah, but you see this guy missed his tackle, because that's what I was so used to doing.
Right.
Because it was like, okay, we lost. You know why? Because this guy missed his tackle and this kick. Like, and I started – and I had to realize that, you know what? You just won, like – your team has put up 40 points, you know, and they just put up 30 points for, like, oh, by the way, the ninth time this season. Like, you might want to back off Chris Godwin's route running. Like, you know, it's like, how about you start praising some of these things you're seeing instead of finding the two plays that he screwed up and emphasizing those, because of so many years, those two plays were the reasons why we lost. Now they're just kind of reasons why we don't get first down. So yeah, right. It's different, but you'll love it.
I look forward to it. You know, I mean, we had a taste of it in 2018 where we had this all world defense. We had this cast of characters that hadn't played together before, but seemed to gel with Gabriel and Trey Burton and Allen Robinson being in year one with the Bears that year, Trubisky, in that first year with the system with Nagy and everything. We go 12-4, Khalil Mack playing like the beast we traded for him to be, and and all that kind of stuff. And then just barely losing that that Eagles game with the double doink and everything that every Bear fan still has nightmares about. And then in 2019, it was just like, well, the defense is still awesome, but that's about it. You know, it just didn't work out. All of a sudden, the offensive line couldn't block. They couldn't stop with the penalties. And defense, as good as they were, couldn't stop shooting themselves in the foot, holding penalty on third and 12. The, you know, a five-yard holding penalty means automatic first down. We'll be just giving away possessions and things like that. And then we just did it all over again this year and had a really awesome six-game losing streak right in the middle of it all. And if not for the NFL adding a seventh playoff team to each conference, we're at home watching the wild card round as opposed to taking part in it this year. So I look forward to being able to not have but victories with the Bears. You know, yes. Like, yeah, we won, but holy hell, were we lucky to win the game. Because That's all 2019 was. There were so many but victories, like when we beat Denver last year, if not for a bogus roughing the passer call on Denver, we don't get the extra yardage on that last drive to get into field goal range. And, you know, things like that. There were only like two really solid wins out of the eight we got last year in 2019. And in this year in 2020, we stacked our wins early and then stumbled out of the blocks. Like when we beat the Bucks on Thursday Night Football, that made us 4-1. We beat Carolina the week after to make us 5-1. And then we lost 6 straight. And we basically went 2 months without a victory because we had a bye week in the middle of it there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Each loss was worse than the one before it. Like, we just kept finding ways to kind of stack the crap up on top of each other as it went along. It was just an incredibly difficult season to go through. And then we stack up these wins at the bottom, beating Minnesota, beating Jacksonville, beating a completely decimated Houston roster. Mm-hmm. You know, and those were the other three wins that we got to make it to the playoffs and, you know, embarrass ourselves on television against the Saints in the wild card round. It was, you know, not how you want your team to play on that stage. So hopefully that will come along so I can get rid of the pessimism, even when we win, you know, because we didn't look good at times and when we won games and things like that. It's I would like to not be that guy anymore. So hopefully that day is coming
soon. I think that was the best way to put it when I was trying to explain how I was picking on the winning. It's the but. I had to put that away in a drawer, and it's fun. So I hope you get to, not so much.
The funny thing is, man.
I hope we beat you every year in the NFC Championship game.
I know I would enjoy. The worst that we do is making it to the NFC Championship game. That would not be the worst thing in the world. You know, losing it over and over would suck monumentally, but to have a shot at the Super Bowl every single year, that wouldn't suck. So,
and you know what? After 10 years in a row and the Buck win the Super Bowl the next 10 years.
When Brady finally retires.
No one's thrown a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl at age 50.
Yeah.
Tom Brady goes for that tonight.
Yeah.
After, you know, a 10-year streak here that the Bucks have just started, I will come on your show and openly campaign for us to lose to you in that 11th NFC Championship game.
All right. I'll put that on my calendar.
Yes, mark
now.
It down.
So what January of 2032 we'll make that happen and have that discussion. I mean, we might be talking to each other again very soon. Because the defending champs opened up the season on Thursday Night Football, and one of the teams that visits you guys next year is the Chicago Bears. And we're kind of like the best candidate out of the home games that you have to be that team for you, because the NFL kind of likes to give the champs a game that is winnable. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know that the Bears.
See, that's not what happened to the Bucks, because we had to go open the vet on the road. We won, but we had to go open the new vet with Sylvester Stallone wearing that Deuce Daly jersey.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. We didn't go to the White House. We ain't going to the White House this time. Like, last time we went to the Super Bowl, there was no week break. Like, the Sunday after the NFC Championship game, the game was played. And this year it's COVID. No one got to watch it.
Yeah.
So it does. Those things don't work out. I mean, you know, I want to talk to you again as soon as possible. But I mean, you know, they're gonna play us. I think we play the Chiefs next year. So like, you know, it'll be rematch of the Super Bowl in Kansas City. Like, so.
Actually, you guys have the. I was listening to the Rich Eisen show today, and that's what they were talking about was candidates for who could play the first game of the year against the Bucks, and they were thinking that. Well, the you guys play the Patriots next year.
It's like, ooh.
But it's in Foxborough. So,
well, there you go. They'll do that to us.
Yeah, the home games are.
And please do. Just piss Brady off right out of the gate.
I think the home games are the Dolphins and the Bills. So Bills would be a candidate, but I think that would be a little bit too much of a marquee matchup to burn week one that game. And you guys play the NFC East, and I think the Cowboys are a road game, so that kind of eliminates them. So who wants to play? Who wants a wild card rematch with the Washington football team or whatever they may or may not be calling themselves by next year? It's like the Bears are kind of sticking out as, obviously the Bears following and everything, so that's going to draw TV numbers and the world champs kicking off the season. It sounds like a very good possibility that could happen.
All right, and I'll see you then.
All right.
Write that down too.
So we'll be in touch with Ren from the PewterCast, possibly a week one preview for 2021 if the NFL schedulers see to it. Ren, thanks so much, man. This was a lot of fun. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Yeah, anytime. I love coming on your show. I love talking into knowledgeable football fans, especially like we talked about earlier. I don't know if it's going to make the pod or not, but not so much the ride or die fans, logical fans, fans that love their team but understand where they're at in the football universe.
Absolutely.
So it's always a pleasure coming on and talking Bears and Bucks with you.
Awesome. As always, want to thank my guest, Ren Dax, from the PewterCast for being on the show. Really enjoyed the conversation and just talking about the game in general. It was a good time. I look forward to having him back on the show during the season again when the Bears and the Bucks play, whenever that may turn out to be. And maybe week one for the kickoff to the 2021 season with the defending world champs and or whenever the NFL schedulers put it together so that the Bears and Brady have a rematch next season. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to the schedule coming out. Just looking forward to doing shows, man. Like I said, I took the playoffs off, you know, just to kind of relax and take a break from the podcast. It was a rough year, 2020, the ups and downs, the roller coasters, the sometimes the embarrassing play and everything. It just was turning into more of a cynic and the yeah but type victories that we had at times this year and things like that, and just the overall aggravation with the offense and the play calling and things that seem so obvious to everyone except Nagy and company and all that nonsense. So I was glad to take a break and get away from that and to be able to chill and relax and just enjoy football in general, which was difficult to do at times when the Bears were playing. So hopefully we'll come back this year and honestly, expectations are probably not going to be very high. I don't want to say low, but, probably somewhere. I mean, even before we've made one move for the offseason, I'm thinking, probably another 8-8 season or something like that. I mean, I have no idea what the Bears are going to do with the quarterback situation, because in the 4 weeks of the Bears being in their offseason, we've been after four different quarterbacks, rumored allegedly or what have you, and then a fifth just emerged this week. First it was Deshaun Watson, then it was Carson Wentz, Stafford. There's Matt Stafford. First it was Deshaun Watson, then it was Matt Stafford, then it was Carson Wentz, then it was there was a fourth one, and then Russell Wilson kind of became the rumor. Derek Carr was the one from 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago it was Carr, last week it was Wentz, and now this week it's Russell Wilson. So it's just, kind of bouncing all over the place. And, a couple over the weekend before the Super Bowl, it was a close to a deal, and the Bears seemed to be the leader in the clubhouse as far as having the best deal available. And then it just seems like everybody's gone back to their respective corners. No move has been made, and what's going on there. There is also still the draft where Pace might make a move up the board or something like that. So it's like for anyone who's scared to death like I am about what Pace may or may not do with our assets to get a quarterback that we so desperately need, we might be biting our nails and shaking in our boots until late April when the draft rolls around, because we're not out of the woods until the draft is over with. It just, you know, something's going to happen between now and then, and we'll see what it is. And I'm not sitting here waiting with bated breath and very excited about what the move is going to be. I mean, I'll be excited about who our new quarterback is and, you know, the fact that we've made a decision and we can all move on, the relief that it will be over with. And I'm sure I will also most likely hate the compensation that we gave up in order to make the move, whatever it is. So I will carry that pessimism with me throughout the offseason. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up, guys. I am not sure when I'll be back. This was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. I reached out to Ren on Tuesday, and we recorded it on Wednesday so that I could drop this one for you guys on Friday. And, you know, so enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your first football-free weekend. Blah. And the many that will come. I'm frankly very much looking forward to when my alma mater, Western Illinois, and the 1AA teams start playing their football, to see if that's on television on the weekend. So maybe I can get in a little football before the pros get back at it again. So anyway, keep your eyes out on the Twitters and the Facebooks, so I'll let you guys know if and when a new episode is coming out. Feel free to pitch me your ideas for episodes, whether they be Bears related, football related, or and off the subject, because you saw, you guys, that we did one of those last year, or did we a couple of them? You know, my buddy and I, Ryan Simmons, did the top 10 favorite sports movies and things like that. So if you got any of those ideas, feel free to throw them at me. BTU_Larry on Twitter, and just search Bears Talk Underground on Facebook. Join the group. Throw me your suggestions, and we'll see what we can do. So anyway, enjoy the non-football life, the vast wasteland, as I like to call it, that is the NFL offseason. And keep your heads up, guys. It'll be over before you know it. Keep your eyes out for the next episode, whenever that may be. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.